from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Content involved. The information goes into a database, the metadata, but cannot be accessed without what's called, and I quote, reasonable, articulable suspicion that the records are relevant and related to terrorist activity.
And that was Dianne Feinstein on CNN the other day talking about the NSA wiretapping and everything. But you know what?
I do know what. It's a bunch of bullshit.
That's right. But you know what's more important than that?
What?
By the way, I'm Robin. That's Cliff. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio, and you can join us at 646-721-9887. What is more important than the wiretapping of the NSA is an event that we missed the other day, Cliff.
Oh, that's this is the most important event of the year. This
that's
is the
right.
It's important thing. It's... Yesterday, or not Friday. Yeah, that was yesterday, wasn't it? Seems like so long ago. Yesterday, if there ever was an all-American holiday, it's National Donut Day. Circle of fried dough drenched in sugar, and it's free. Well, it is for one day, probably just one. But it actually is a patriotic history. During World War I, the Salvation Army sent volunteers to France, and they made donuts for the soldiers fighting on the front, on the lines. And in 1917, the group dubbed the first Friday of June National Donut Day to commemorate the volunteers' goodwill gesture. So we got to remember this. And this was 1917, and I didn't know about it? How could I possibly not have heard about National Donut Day for that long?
Yeah, you were there.
Almost. I mean, it's not quite. See, that's the thing. I was born too late. I missed it, and I didn't ever catch up. And so now I'm finally. Now it's time for me to die. I'm catching up.
Yes.
Now that I can't eat donuts anymore, supposedly. But for National Donut Day, I'll see. I blew it even yesterday, because I read about this yesterday, and I didn't run out and buy a dozen donuts and eat them all by myself. So, I blew that part too. I'm not doing well. I'm just doing real bad. National Donut Day.
That's right, and more important than anything the NSA has to do. In fact, I'm sure that they also are into donuts as well.
I'm sure they probably are. If anybody isn't, Krispy Kreme was supposedly giving out free donuts, no purchase necessary. But it says on here, but just try to eat one. I don't know what that means. I know, but try to eat just one. That's it. Okay. Yeah, it's like a Tasty Cake is the brand that you see in the grocery stores, and they said they were giving away a donut. Winn-Dixie, we don't have Winn-Dixie around here, do we?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I lived in Toppenish before, and there was a Winn-Dixie in Toppenish. Of course, it was closed right after I moved there, but it didn't stay open very long. They were handing out jumbo donut holes, is what they were handing out. You figure you got donuts, you're building all these donuts, you got all these holes left over, do something with them. Of course, I like eating donut holes better than I like eating donuts, because you don't get all dirty. You can have a donut hole is about a good mouthful.
Yeah, but how do you eat the hole out of a donut? There's nothing in there.
Yeah, there is. That's right. Well, there is nothing in the donut hole. Huh?
You mean when the donut's being made, you take the creation of the hole, not after the donut's been made, and you try to eat the hole that's in the donut.
You eat the hole that came from the donut.
There you go.
And I love them. I love donut holes. I used to eat donut holes all the time. I'd go to the donut store. I'd go to a bakery, and they were known for the donut holes. And you could get 2 dozen donut holes for a dollar. Of course, this was a while ago, but they're probably thought of a donut hole now.
Yeah, I wonder what Michael Bloomberg had to say about that.
Donut holes?
No, about National Donut Day.
Well, I don't care what he has to say about it. He can.
Be nice. You know, we have a PG rating.
No, we don't.
Well, actually, we don't, but.
Not if I have anything to say about it, we don't. There's too many things to say to keep a PG rating. Of course, that depends on what you decide is PG, because I don't think we should be protecting the ears of little ones as much as we do. Anyway, so much for donut holes and missing the whole donut day. But next year, they've got a thing you can put on the computer that pops up a couple of days ahead of time. I've got to figure out how to do that and have that so that it pops up a couple of days before donut day, so I don't miss it next year.
That's right, because that is definitely more important than
that's
the government
most,
spying on you.
So, you know, the whole thing pales in comparison with the government spying on you. I tell you, I am really upset about the government spying on me. That whole thing has just got to be a problem. I can't believe that the citizens of the United States are sitting back and letting all this junk happen, and they're not doing anything about it. They're just sitting here and letting it happen. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody should be up in arms. Everybody should be screaming and hollering and yelling and anything to do something to slow it down or stop it. I mean,
yeah, but here's the thing, Cliff. Our overseer and Lord is saying that we're not listening to your phone calls. In fact, let me roll clip 3 to kind of prove that point.
When it comes to telephone calls, nobody is listening to your telephone calls. That's not what this program's about. As was indicated, the intelligence community is doing is looking at phone numbers and durations of calls. They are not looking at people's names, and they're not looking at content. But by sifting through this so-called metadata, they may identify potential leads with respect to folks who might engage in terrorism. If these folks, if the intelligence community then actually wants to listen to a phone call, they've got to go back to a federal judge, just like they would in a criminal investigation.
See, don't you feel better now?
Actually, I'm almost upset about that, because I've noticed that I make a call to somebody and nobody listens, even the person I'm calling. Nobody listens to what I'm saying. So.
You got nothing to worry about.
It's probably true. But as far as going to a federal judge or a federal whatever, that's a bunch of crap. I mean, if the president decides he wants to listen to something, all he has to do is tell him, I want to listen to it. And anybody else that's involved in that, and the Senate, the House, everybody, they can get in there and listen to it if they want to. There's no big thing about it. And going to this federal judge, the federal judges are in on this whole thing.
Headlines, NBC News, officials, NSA mistakenly intercepted emails and phone calls of innocent Americans.
It wasn't mistaken. It's been going on for 7 years. 7 years they've been mistakenly doing this. And this guy, what was his name, that did an interview with him, and he said, oh, no, we haven't done that. But they took a copy of his speech a little while before that, and he admitted to it. Hey, everybody's lying to us, and we don't see. This is the whole thing. We started out, we didn't mind people lying to us in their speeches to get elected. They could lie to us if they wanted to there. Everybody knew they were doing that. But the thing is, everybody knows they're lying through their teeth all day long. And nobody's doing anything about it. No, everybody feels that's okay. Do we get to lie about things? I mean, you know, we do. We do. We, you know, the check's in the mail. I mean, it probably wasn't even written yet, but right. The check's in the mail. We're constantly growing up a society of liars is what we're doing, and everybody's accepting that, and it's going to come to a head, and it's going to explode in our face before long.
Well, only if the people happen to stand up and want to do something about it. But the question is, you know, what can people do?
Well, people can do anything they want because the people are the government. And we can, first thing we've got to start doing, by doing, is getting rid of this president who feels all of this is acceptable, who actually is perpetuating and is helping people do this sort of thing. And that's the first thing we've got to do, is get somebody into office, and not just the president, but there are other people that are there that need to be changed. We need to get people in the office that are.
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, at the beginning of the speech he was talking about, he says one of the two things that he was concerned about was the safety of the nation and following the Constitution. Well, of course, we all know that he follows the Constitution to the letter.
Yeah, right.
So why would we be worried about anything else? But what he does say, and this is clip two I'll play here in just a moment, the question that I brought up many times on the program is, what are you willing to give up? How much rights are you willing to give up, and freedom are you willing to give up for the illusion of safety? So here's clip two.
You can't have 100% security and also then have 100% privacy and zero inconvenience. You know, we're going to have to make some choices as a society. And
that's why you have to practically walk through TSA naked to get on an airplane, and even that doesn't help.
Really? I swear to God, I don't fly anywhere anymore at all, by the way. I won't go anywhere if I can't drive there, which means I'm not going to Europe or any place like that, right, for a while. I'm not saying I won't, but I definitely not going to make a point to it. It's just because the first thing we've got to do is we've got to change the administration. We've got to get the right people out of there, the wrong people out of there, or whatever you want to call it. But we've got to change the administration. And we've got to change the attitude of the people that are going in there.
All right. We've got to get rid of the attitude that why read the bill, and you got to pass it to know what's in it. You got to get people that really are there not just to make money, but are there for the whole purpose, for the honor of serving the country. And, you know,
I've heard about that. They did. Somebody was talking about that just the other day on television, and they were talking about nobody would be willing to go to serve as a public servant just to get rich, because supposedly they can't do that, but they can. That's the thing. A lot of people who don't have money, but a lot of people who go into public service. I know it was Mitt Romney who was talking about it, and he was a different story because he didn't need the money, and he didn't. And Mitt Romney, as a matter of fact, he mentioned on this particular broadcast, he didn't even want the office. He felt that he needed to take the office, and needed to get the office, because he needed to help out the country. He needed to do things that the country needed doing. And at this particular point, I'm all for it, because I do believe we'd be better off right now if he was president, as opposed to the one we have in there at the moment. But we've got to wait now for, 3 years? I guess we've gone over almost a year.
But you know, even just like Obama was saying, you know, we have the procedures in place. We got the judges. We got whatever. Just like with what's been going on with the IRS and them looking into the reporters and the Tea Parties, et cetera. From what I understand, they were subpoenaed by Congress to come testify, and Congress even extended it, and they still haven't showed up, so they're in contempt of Congress. But they don't care.
That's it. They don't care. The IRS doesn't care about anything, and they're getting even bigger yet because the president's whole program is going to be controlled by the IRS, and we've got going to have the IRS in everything we do, everything we are. But that's what I'm saying. Sooner or later, this has got to come to a head because too many things are being laid on one organization. You can't.
Well, it's not just that. It's just, again, it's the checks and balance system, and we've seen it, especially in this administration, we've seen it fail so many times, and that, you know, that's what the founding fathers put in, was to prevent government from getting too big, too much control. But as they say, is that this is getting to be more of a 1984 Orwell type of thing, and people, you know, Cliff and I were talking about this before the program, about how it gets into your lives personally. Well, there's a out here in the Eugene area, there's a new construction going on, and there's some really weird cameras that have been put up, type that I've never seen before, that aren't the type that looks like that would control the traffic lights. But what these are, and I'll read the proposal, is that these lights are they are designed to collect volume and occupancy and speed information. So in other words, they're looking inside the vehicle, because they also have night vision infrared on them. They're looking inside the vehicle to see how many people are actually driving or inside, you know, the number of people in the vehicle for whatever count reasons. But that's a permanent camera in there. It's like, I don't want you seeing inside my car or whatever. What business is that of yours?
Well, the thing is, they are doing that, and they have been doing that for quite some time now. And depending on where you're around here, it's just getting started. But in California, it's been happening for years and years and years. And it's not going to stop because people want that information. Again, I keep saying, if you don't want somebody to see what you're doing, don't do it. You know, don't do it where they can see you.
Well, here's the other thing that pointed out on another program is the technology out there for facial recognition, for example. I mean, any camera can be ran through facial recognition software, and what he pointed out is two things. Well, you know, in Vegas, it's been done all the time to recognize, you know, the gamblers if they don't want in there. It's been done at football games. But the thing he also pointed out I didn't even think of is you go out and innocently make a YouTube video of yourself. It's really easy to run facial recognition software on that. So
let's be a little bit. If you're making a YouTube presentation, where would a YouTube presentation be used? That's online. If you're making a presentation that's with your own self, that you're designed to go online, then you're allowing everyone, you're just giving everybody permission to do what they want to do. I mean, that's absurd. If you don't want to get caught, if you don't want to get seen, if you don't want people to know who you are, you don't put yourself out there in front of everybody.
Exactly. Well, let's take a step further. Skype and other applications with the smartphones, you can do what's called video chat. Well, if the phones are being monitored and the videos are being intercepted, well, using facial recognition, there's another way to hunt somebody down.
Anytime you're using your phone, you're open to video recognition.
Or any type of recognition. In fact, if you think about it, we don't have a phone per household. We have a phone per person.
Nowadays we do, yeah.
Yeah. And the older phones were a little bit harder to tap, but the newer phones, which are the smartphones, which are basically just a small portable computer, just like with Windows operating system, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the background. You have no idea. And it's really easy to put key logging and other type of tracking software in it. Same thing with a cell phone. In fact, that's already been, I think it was discovered last year that there was software that was in one brand of Android phones.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you don't know it. And, you know, these things are, as they're getting more and more complicated, using multiple channels, like besides the CDMA channels, you know, you now have 3G, 4G networks, you have Wi-Fi, there's so many ways that you can be tracked. It's unreal.
And I think that's fine. I've decided that's perfectly okay. You know, if I want to say something that I specifically don't want anybody to know about, then I will go to their house and talk to them. And I might even, if I really, really want to be clandestine about it, I will ask them to come outside with me and we'll walk down the street and talk about it where nobody can listen in. I mean, they can, but they're not going to know what I'm going to be there and what I want to say something. So, you know, it depends on what you have to say, and it depends on how clandestine you want to be. And the thing is, the only way to make sure that you are totally free of this is to be prepared. Now, if you're going to say open anything up on the Internet, you're going to be free, particularly open to being listened to or checked on or anything you want to say.
You mean like the 3,000 of our weekly listeners?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. We're letting them hear what we have to say. And that's the other thing, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't mind what I'm saying. I mean, I can't necessarily defend everything I say because it is, some of it is personal opinion. But basically, I will defend, well, to the death, my right of saying it. I don't care. I don't figure I have anything that I'm going to say on the air that's going to really be that upsetting. I know I'm going to be upsetting to the current administration because I think they're doing things that are very, very wrong and they should be removed. I believe they should be removed and right away. I'm with you. I agree that we should find a way to just take Obama out of office because he is getting to the point that he's doing things that are going to be hard to fix. And he's doing them faster than I thought he could. So we need to get rid of him. I mean, that means out of office. That doesn't mean shooting him or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we want to make that clear. And speaking of making it clear, Cliff, tell us how people can call in and join in on this conversation.
Okay. 646-721-9887. Now, that sounds like a telephone number, doesn't it?
It does.
It's because it is. 646-721-9887. It's easy to remember, especially if you write it down. 646-721-9887. If you call that number, and it'll bring up our number, it'll bring up our program, and you can push a 1, I guess it is, on there, and let Robin know that you're there. It'll blink a blinky light or something and say, "Hello, I'm here. But we'd love to hear from you. We really would. I mean, there's got to be something you've got to have an opinion on that is not my opinion, and I'd be more than happy to tell you you're wrong in person.
And sometimes he even tells you you're right.
Sometimes. But I don't necessarily want people who agree with me because then there's nothing to say. But if we have somebody who just doesn't agree with what I'm talking about, then we need, because I know there are people, regardless of how misguided they are, there are people who agree and who like President Obama. Now, they are horribly misguided people. I know that. And we try to, I don't want to go out and wipe out everybody who disagrees with me, but maybe we should.
Well, here's something, and I don't want to get too far off topic. There's talk about putting, and they do this about every president, about putting Obama's face on Mount Rushmore. Besides the fact that I don't think it's a good idea, but can you imagine if Mount Rushmore, if they decide to put any of the faces on today with the EPA, it would never happen.
Most of the things that we've done, large projects, wouldn't happen. Bridges, all sorts of things. Maybe bridges would work, stay, but there's a lot of things that we do have done in the past that are national landmarks, for that matter, that just wouldn't be possible today. The bridges and the large projects there wouldn't be done because they cost too much money.
Right. Just a little side note I was thinking about when they even suggested it. But getting back to the NSA and the cell phone tapping, the common question that somebody would say is that I'm not doing anything wrong. I got nothing to hide. Why should I care?
Well, okay, then you shouldn't care. You shouldn't care. You should just keep your mouth shut and let it happen because there's nothing you're doing wrong. Now, see, the thing is, that doesn't mean there was never anything you did wrong. Maybe there was somewhere a conversation that you wanted to keep private. Maybe there was somewhere a conversation that you didn't want everybody in the world to know about. Maybe you made a phone call to somebody and called your boss a dummy or something worse. And you didn't want anybody to know about that. That is online. It is recorded somewhere. And there is somebody that can, if they wish, listen to that conversation and pass it along because there's nothing you can do about it. It's being recorded. Now, I don't know how much I really believe that because can you imagine how the size of the computers and the complexity of cataloging every phone call ever made?
There is software out there that does look up keywords and stuff, and from what I understand, there's a new I don't know when it was installed, but in Utah there's a new data center that was it zettabits or whatever above gigabits of storage, lots of storage that they have out there. And the interesting thing as well with this is that since the news came out earlier this week about it, they're making it seem like, oh my God, this is a new thing. But actually, Congress, I believe, it was back in 2006, was aware of this, of these programs.
Oh, yeah. So they've been aware for 9 years, 8 or 9 years,
right,
of all of this. They've all been kept in the loop and understand what's going on. Now, so you've got to understand, remember, Congress is 535 or so people is what Congress is. And you get 535 people. Out of those, only about 50 or 60 are going to pay attention to what's happening.
Right.
So
that's
about all that are going to know what's happening. And those people are going to have the edge over the other people because they're going to know what's going on. And the other people are just fat and happy and just doing what they want to do. And that's the description of our entire society, just fat and happy and sitting around watching nothing.
Yeah, in fact, the president says that this program is overseen by the FISA, F-I-S-A court. It's like, you ever heard of the FISA court before?
I really think that they make up things as they go along. And that's the problem. We don't know. We don't know what our government is doing, and we don't know what and we can't know unless we inquire and look into things. And unless we do that, we're just going to have to sit back and be happy about it. And I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to be happy about it because there's not much there to be happy about as far as I'm concerned.
Well, if you're interested, the FISA I've been waiting for my screen to refresh. The FISA, it stands for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which is a law that prescribes procedures for physical and electronic surveillance collection of, and within quotes, foreign intelligence information between foreign powers and agents of foreign powers. And it says also, which may include American citizens and permanent residents suspected of espionage or terrorism.
But you see, anybody can be suspected.
That's
anybody
right.
Can be suspected. All you have to do is Obama has to say, oh, I think so-and-so is such-and-such, and presto, he's got it. That's ridiculous. Anybody that's in the government, any one of them, I don't know, House, the Senate, all they have to do is wonder, I wonder what's going on here. And they'll find out, and they will get the information, regardless of how secure it is or supposedly secure it is. And because it's not secure from them. It's only secure from us.
Well, let me read you this this paragraph here, and this is from Wikipedia. Consider the source, Wikipedia. It says, without a court order, the president may authorize, through the attorney general, electronic surveillance without a court order for a period of 1 year, provided that it's only for foreign intelligence information targeting foreign powers as defined by 50 U.S.C. 1801 or their agents, and there is no substantial likelihood that the surveillance will occur or require the content of any communication to which a United States person is a party.
See, again, it's them making up the words. It's them making up the whole idea. It's, we can't go in and request that information. If we request it, we have to go through all this rigmarole and all of this detail. But if Obama goes in and requests it, he's got it immediately, period.
Well, it's the thing. Do you think the Attorney General is going to refuse a request from Obama?
Only once.
Yeah, only once.
Well, it's true because, you know, because they can be fired. I mean, they're changing people all the time. We're getting new attorney generals all the time. We're getting new everybody all the time. And it's just ridiculous. We need to find a way to see. I guess I don't know the answer to it because I don't believe I want an attorney general that stays in office all forever. And yet I don't want any president or any person that wants to change that per office. So we've got to come up with different ways of electing people, different ways of putting people in office and how long they have to stay there. We've got to make a real wide sweep of our how we do things as far as public office is concerned, because we've been changing it to see it never changes to the general public's betterment. It only changes to the person in office.
Well, yeah, and do you think Eric, like you said, do you think Eric Holder is going to refuse? I mean, sure, he's been a pain in the president's butt sometimes, but I don't think if the president comes out, well, in fact, if he even made up to the level of the presidency, if he came out and say, oh, hey, Eric, I need to get some records on so-and-so because I just think it's national security. Sure, when do you want them?
Yeah. Exactly, all of this is it's getting, like you say, it's becoming more and more automated. It's not people doing it, but you know, ready or not, people still have to be able to use that equipment, have to be able to understand that equipment, and have to be able to have access to what that equipment is putting in storage. I mean, we can have all the storage we want to, but we got to know where to find things and how to work things, and so. There's a lot of people involved in all of this surveillance other than just the people that we're talking about. There's a lot of people involved in every little bit of it and just thousands and thousands of people that are involved in it. And it's ridiculous to think that anything is secret. I don't believe that if you have a secret, you should the one way to be absolutely sure that you can keep your secret is to shut your damn mouth and not tell anybody.
Oh, that with technology, that's going by the wayside. But I have a question for you.
Yeah, they'll be checking your brain.
Yeah, well, some of us, that wouldn't be an issue. Anyway, Fast and Furious, if you remember that scandal, speaking of Eric Holder, it's one of those things where they're, the government check my brain, it's all confused. It's one of those things where the government is denying any knowledge that this happened, you know, that people acted on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, where is the checks and balances that would have prevented that? And who knows, because we still haven't got an answer on the Fast and Furious thing. How do they know that wasn't a covert?
Well, you see, one of the things that's going on here is people, I mean, the standard citizenry is getting upset enough about what's going on in the government. They don't want to be a part of it.
Right.
And
it's
so you can't recruit new people. So you can't fire the old people.
Right.
So,
but it's scared too. They're scared to, like they're saying with the IRS, for example, that with the scandals going on with them, now's the time to put pressure on your congressmen and representatives to abolish the IRS, go to a flat tax or do something better, and take away a lot of their power. And some of the talk shows are, the major talk shows are saying that we're not seeing this. Well, two things. One, so far it doesn't affect the individual directly. And secondly, they're afraid of the IRS. I mean, who isn't?
Well, again, it's coming to a head, I believe. Perhaps not as fast as I would like it to, but people are finally recognizing. We hear so much more about this on television. In the last week, we've heard about these three activities of the federal government and how long they've been going on and how deep they've been going into the government. And people, I think, are more and more gaining recognition of the fact of what our government is capable of doing, and there's nothing to stop them. I mean, there's nothing and no one to stop them. So there's going to be a point where people are finally going to put together, I haven't seen it, maybe I should go online and look for it. There are probably organizations getting ready to look into this activity and perhaps put a curtail the activity. And it's about time.
Well, that's what the Tea Party was supposed to have been. And look what's happening to them. They got targeted. They got audited. They got a whole bunch of criticism by the Tea Party by the government that they're racist and, you know, just a lot of flack just because they're just a citizens group. Because they don't want you. They don't want people to get together. In fact, if the government could, they'd probably even snuff programs like this one.
Most likely. I'm amazed that we haven't been notified, except that we obviously aren't big enough, and we only work once a week. So maybe if we work 7 nights a week, that we figure this out, and they'll start yelling at us and doing terrible things.
They probably figure half of our information is wrong anyway, so they're not worried about it.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. The information can be wrong. Most of it, as I say, is not whether it's right or wrong. It's our opinion. And that's what we've got to going for us is our opinion. And that's the point in the Constitution. We do still have a right to our opinion. Ready or not?
Well, yes, but they're trying to limit that as well. I mean, the government has come out, even locally here, has come out and just says, you know, we're going to do what we want to do no matter what. There's many examples. I mean, especially like locally in Eugene, you know, they're going to build skateboard park, $2 million or whatever, and they have a $5 million deficit. The traffic program that's going along the freeway to put up monitoring systems is exactly $5 million, but yet they're going to cut services. There's many, and that's just local examples. You know, they don't care if the people want it or not. They'll do it anyway.
That's the problem. We don't care. They don't care if people want it or not, and they're going to do whatever they want to do. And that's the thing. It's not just federal or national or regional. It's local governments that are doing the same thing. Anytime you've got people involved in running the government, whatever government it happens to be, we're going to have people with their own opinion of how it should be done, and they're going to do their own thing, like it or not. And the only way you can stop that is by screaming and yelling and making your opinion known one way or another, whether it's on the internet, whether it's in the newspaper, even if you have to go out and stand literally on a soapbox and yell and scream in a park or something like that, you know. And that's one thing. You're upset about this new park being built in Eugene. Well, at least it gives us another place to stand on a soapbox and make our opinion known, hopefully. That's the thing we've got to start doing is people have got to start opening up their mouth and getting groups together and figuring out how to check, do their own checks and balances.
Right. No, I agree. But the thing is that if you make too much noise, then you're going to see the individual against the government. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, you're putting yourself at really great risk. Even as a large group, even though it is in the Constitution that we can abolish the government if the government gets out of control. I mean, obviously nobody's going to even suggest that, and what's scary is that what would we get in its place?
Nobody believes they can even do it.
Exactly. But again, it's referring back to the Constitution with the branches of government that is supposed to be the checks and balances, that only works if everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, and we seem like I said, Obamacare is a really great example where you're being forced to buy a product. You know, that still goes against the Commerce Clause, but yet the federal judges went ahead and said, nope, it's legal. You can be taxed if you don't purchase this product.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said before, what do you do if you have a rogue president, for example? I mean, our system is outdated as far as dealing with that, and so much damage can be done, and same thing with spying on citizens. You know, look at China. Although they're having a lot more trouble thanks to the internet, but they know that you got to keep a tight grip and you got to stay on top of things to maintain control of the citizenry, because the last thing you want is somebody coming out and putting ideas into people's heads.
Well, that's the problem. We've got to recognize the fact that we can do that. We can accomplish something like that. We can go out and start our organization or our group of people if we want to. And granted, you're going to have to be careful how you do it and watch what you – because it's true that you don't know. See, there's so many people. The government is – are they not the most the largest employer in the world, in the United States, is the federal government?
Absolutely.
And that's our problem. We've allowed it to get so big and so out of control that we can't control it anymore. We can't that doesn't make much sense, but we can't do anything about it anymore. And that's why we've got to things are happening that are containing this by itself. In other words, the fact is we can't afford to have a government as big as it is. So we're going to have to. It's going to go down. It's going to go. Going to have less people involved. Less people involved in it. And that's the one thing that's to our benefit. The less people we have involved in government, the less people we have running the government, the less people we have interfering in our life. And that's what we've got to think about. So maybe we've got to worry about making the government smaller and making our opinion mean more and find a way.
The reason why I don't think that's going to happen, a couple of reasons. One is we just recently went through Memorial Day. And I've had this experience myself where I was talking with a coworker and asked you know, when I was asked, well, what is Memorial Day and why should I care? Just same thing about a recent quiz was, what does the D.C. stand for in Washington, D.C.? You know, people are being so out of touch and so misinformed with things that they just take every day for granted.
Well, now, let's hold it just a second. I agree with the Washington, D.C. thing. Who cares about that except people who live there? Most people don't care about what D.C. means in Washington, D.C. But it's a different thing entirely about what does Memorial Day mean, because a lot of people don't know what Memorial Day means. It's just a holiday to them. And, okay, that's fine. It's a holiday. We can use that as a holiday, and that's fine. We can go have our barbecues and have our fun and do our thing. But do we really know what Memorial Day means, and what does it mean to us? Doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. I mean, all it does is means that we're remembering somebody,
right?
And we don't care. We don't want to. You know, we can't live our life in the past. We've got to think about what we can do in the future.
Well, it's also honoring the men and women who gave their lives to help protect the country, and
I understand that, but again, that's in the past. I mean, we can do that, and that's okay. And some people can remember it, some people can't. We've got to find some sort of a holiday or some sort of a program that is reflecting what's going to happen in the future, and spend our time and our effort making people aware of that. What is a program that can affect what happens in the future? We don't have one of those, do we?
No, but we could also look at it another way. What is the 4th of July?
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Why do we have a 4th of July?
Because the sun runs around the earth. So, you know, if you're wondering why we celebrate it, it's again, it's not a necessary thing. we're celebrating all these holidays because we want something to do. We want something to take our time off and want to have an excuse to have a party. But we haven't. None of those things have anything to do with what we can do for the government, for running our government, for controlling how our lives are run.
Well, the reason why I bring that up, because the whole reason, you're exactly right, that people look at, oh, 4th of July, it's an extra day off of work, you know, party, fireworks, you know, have a good time. But why do we do it? Well, it's something that affects Americans, you know, and everybody in the U.S. every day. We're celebrating our independence.
Except that we're not anymore. Nowadays, it's just a holiday. It's just something to do for that day. We don't have anything. I don't know if any organization that's regarding the 4th of July or built around the 4th of July or built around the celebration of a 4th of July that has anything to do with how our government is run anymore.
No, you make a good point. In fact, you're making my point, is that people, they, from lack of knowledge, are just basically they just don't care, and that allows, you know, Uncle Obama to come in and his group and just, I don't care. How does it affect me? I'm not even interested. I don't even watch the news. So whatever goes on in D.C., whatever that is, I don't care. You know, just let them do their thing. If they're monitoring my phone calls or whatever, I don't care. You know, let them look at my Facebook. Let employers look at my Facebook. Let them find out. Let them, you know, if you have a Safeway or Albertsons card that you discount card, let them track what I purchase and eat. I don't care. Let them put a GPS in my car that tracks where I go. I don't care. Why should I?
Interestingly enough, that's your about the Safeway card. I actually stopped shopping at Safeway because they wouldn't let me shop without a card. I don't go there anymore.
They'll let you shop. You just can't get the little discount.
They didn't want me to shop. They wanted me to get the card. They told me that if I didn't want the card, fine, I still had to give the information. So I walked out. I left my groceries there, and I just walked out. And I won't shop there.
I never ran into that, but I've been into the stores, though, and they, do you have your card? Nope, don't have it. Okay.
Yeah, but you've gotten one.
Well, I got one. Doesn't mean I use it. I don't even use mine.
Well, that's the thing is, they've got the information already.
Yeah. But the point is, this is just an example about how we're tracked and the information is gathered on us every day. Your email, if you have a Yahoo account, and then Yahoo one's one I definitely know about. I'm not too sure about the others. Yahoo has even come out and said that your emails are scanned for advertisements and other issues. So,
That's why my email is cliff@cliff.org.
That's right. So now that you've given it out to our 3,000 listeners, if they want to contact you.
cliff@cliff.org. And it's with one F. Actually, it doesn't make a difference. I've got it both ways.
There you go. Now you're going to start getting mail like we got in the talk at caribbeanradio.com, which, by the way, Vira won't do either of us any good.
I don't care. I get probably 84, 85 emails a day. And unless I know who you are, or unless there's some way that you have a tagging your email, I don't open them. I don't open anything unless I understand and know who they are. So, you know, you better make it known that it's you trying to get a hold of me if you're somebody I don't know.
Well, here's another method of tracking, too, I just thought of. If you have a Facebook account and you leave your Facebook logged in, even if the page is closed, and you go to another page that has the little Facebook icon on it, if you notice, it knows you're there.
Well, see, that's I guess I am weird because I don't have a Facebook account. I don't, or I do have a Facebook account. I don't have any information in it. And that's why I don't ever use it because they want me to fill it out and finish it up. I don't have any other accounts. I just don't do anything on the computer. I spend a lot of time looking things up on the computer, and I'm sure that somebody's following that somehow. But
yeah.
That's all.
I just using that as an example about, you know, lack of privacy. And so, again, with the NSA and all the other alphabet agencies, I mean, I guess privacy is a thing of the past when you really come down and think about it. It's just, but again, too, it's just how much, I mean, the government has a lot of power, but just how much more power do we want to give it, or how much, or like the old saying is, like with new technology that the military or whatever tells us about, it's not what they tell us about you have to be worried about, it's what they're not telling you about.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And there's a lot of that that they're not telling us about, unfortunately. And we've got to be prepared to accept that, I guess, or we've got to be prepared to do something about it, mm-hmm. one or the other. What is wrong with my computer? My mouse stops working.
So here, live on the air, you're telling everybody that your mouse died.
Yes. I mean, I've had to reboot this computer.
Thousands of people worldwide are going to know that your mouse died.
Well, I've got to go over and get a new. It's not died. The mouse itself is fine. It's the program in the computer that stopped.
Well, maybe it's because the NSA is checking your computer.
That's quite possible.
Yeah, this is a new scandal. They infiltrated your mouse.
Yeah, infiltrated.
Yeah, that's right, what he said.
I don't care. I don't care about what they do. They can watch me and try to figure out what I'm doing. Chances are it's going to be so confusing to them that they're not going to be able to figure it out anyway. Because there's nothing logical about what I do on the computer.
Not anything logical about what you do in your life. I've been over there.
That's true. That's true.
646-721-9887. If you would like to chime in on this or anything else that is on your mind, please feel free to join us. As Cliff says, you can also listen to the program live, as we've got a couple people doing right now, by dialing that number. And if you want to join us, just push 1 on your touchtone phone and... the little flag will come up on my screen. I'll go, hi, area code so-and-so. Welcome to the program.
And read more. I just really, really like to talk to people online and talk to them in person, because I find it really much more satisfying to actually talk to people in person.
That's right. And the chat room is open, too, if you'd like to join us there. And how do you feel about what's going on? Are you nervous about the government having a program to track your phone calls? Are you concerned about it? Is it no big deal to you? Do you don't care? Do you care? Do you care that you missed Donut Day?
That I care about. That I care about. We should have 8 or 10 of those a year.
We should. But then again, Michelle Obama and Michael Bloomberg would have a cow over that, because you know, that's not healthy.
Well,
too much sugar.
I haven't been healthy for a long time.
So you're beyond past the donuts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a day when I did have Donut Day almost every other day, so that's my big problem.
646-721-9887. You got that, Cliff?
Yes, 646-721-9887. And I've got it written down, so if you can't remember it, you can email me at cliff@cliff.org, and I'll be more than happy to email back the telephone number or something.
Or just go to the website. That's a lot easier. KRradio.com. I don't know. Getting back to the NSA stuff and Obama's speech, which is also kind of interesting, that if you listen to the speech, have you noticed that whenever Obama is trying to, well, as they say about lawyers, how can you tell when a lawyer's lying, he opens his mouth.
You know, I just to interrupt you for a second, I saw a thing on television the other day that Obama did that proves your point that he can't say talk about without talking points or without teleprompters. He went on and they didn't, and he was talking, and it was only a little bit that he was going to say. He wasn't going to make much of a speech, but he didn't have his prompter going. And so he opened his mouth and he looked down at the table and he couldn't talk. He actually had to wait until somebody handed him the piece of paper, and he joked about it until they did, because he really had nothing to say until it was sitting down in front of him what he was going to say.
I really want to dispel the rumor that I'm just a puppet.
Yeah, exactly. And he mentioned the fact that it wasn't there, and he couldn't say anything unless he had that information written down in front of him. And as soon as they handed it to him, then he can send. And he only had 5 minutes to say something. He didn't have anything to say, really. I mean, I can't believe he couldn't have remembered it.
Well, what's interesting is that when he does say something, it's pretty much the same thing, just insert the different topic. Even like with the speech here, he says that we've actually expanded some of the oversight, increased some of the safeguards. When? But my assessment and team's assessment was that they help us prevent terrorist attacks. Really?
Yeah. See, again, it all you can. It depends on who's talking, and it depends on who they're talking about, because they make it up as they go along. They all do. And that's just all there is to it. The constitutionalists have got to be listened to, because the Constitution is written down. It has been written down for a long time, and it's very hard to make an amendment to the Constitution. It needs to be very hard to make an amendment to the Constitution, and we should live by the Constitution, because we're not. We're making it up as we go along.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to living by the Constitution, because the people who made the Constitution up thought about that long time and long and hard, and they were probably a lot smarter than we are in the first place. And there were some really bright people that put that program together. And we need to sit down and again, if you want to, on krbn.radio.com, the Constitution is there. In its entirety, and you can read it and understand it, and the amendments to the Constitution, too. But we've got to get back to living by that document rather than making up things as we go along. That's, again, all the laws and all the rules that make up, so as far as I'm concerned, can be just eliminated, because we need to live by that.
Well, the thing is that again, I'm reading the... You can go onto the White House website and get the transcripts of any of the speeches that the president makes. There's no charge for that. Of course, I'm always concerned that, as soon as you go to any of the government websites, you're on a database. let me read this paragraph and a half here and listen to it and read between the lines as you're hearing it. We have established a process and a procedure that American people should feel comfortable about. But again, these programs are subject to constitutional oversight and constitutional reauthorization and congressional debate. And if there are members of Congress who feel differently, then they should speak up, and we're happy to have that debate.
And who's we?
Well, I mean, I guess he's referring to, him and the other high points.
Okay, who's him? I mean,
this is the president's speech.
Okay.
Yeah. But I love the way that they say that, first of all, we have established a process and a procedure. This is like your boss saying that, we have established the rules for your working here, and if you don't like it, then you can get out.
Basically, they're saying you can complain about it if you want to, and as soon as you complain about it, then you will be out.
Right. Forgetting those big, all-powerful words, we the people.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's the thing we've got to get back to, is that particular document, because that spells it out. No ambiguity there at all. It spells it out.
Exactly. And then when they're saying that these programs are subject to congressional oversight and congressional reauthorization, I don't have it in front of me, but what is Congress's approval rating?
Well, and it doesn't make any difference, because Congress makes the rules. And so if they don't like what's being done, or if they don't like the way you're doing it, they just change the rules.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing.
That's why they have such a great rating. That's why their rating is like 22% or something like that.
Well, yeah, and of course, they've been right up in there taking care of everything they should have. That's why they don't read the bill.
Yeah, really. I mean, the thing is, again, everybody, see, that's what everybody is talking about, too, is they, again, they have to make this bill, all of these bills, so long that you can't read them. Or even if you can read them, you can't understand what they're saying because they're written in documentese or something, some sort of a language that doesn't...
Yeah, but here's the thing that's interesting about the Constitution. In fact, let me read the preamble just so people who haven't heard about the Constitution will kind of get an idea. It says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Now, the thing that's interesting about the Constitution, it doesn't have a bunch of confusing legalese in it.
That's true. That's true. Only that only comes in when we start putting amendments to the Constitution. We start adding the legalese.
Right. And I hate to sound like an old Star Trek episode where Kirk is pointing out, we, the people, are the strongest words out there, but, I mean, it's becoming that.
Well, we, the people, are sitting in the background on our dead ass and doing nothing. We're letting it happen.
Because we're interested in putting people back in because of what they can give us, like the free Obama phones or...
Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten my free Obama phone yet, so consequently, we got to keep him in there until I do. I don't think he knows about me.
Hopefully not. You can call him and see if he wants to be a guest in the program.
That's a thought. That's a thought. As if I could actually get through to him.
Well, you never know. He's been on Blog Talk before, but...
Well, you never know. He may be so lonely because nobody will talk to him. Anybody with any smarts won't. I don't know. It's just that we've got to get things under control. And until we do, we can scream and yell and holler and make be complaining and all that sort of thing. But unless we get underneath... everybody's decided that it's just like we say, we've got 3 years to go of this before we have to worry about it, and then we can put a whole new person in there. Actually, the electioneering probably will start within the next year because we'll have people start looking for office. I don't know. I don't know who would put – well, that's another story.
Well, who'd want to run? I mean, you're put through such scrutiny.
Yeah.
To run into office.
Well, we've got some Republicans. There are two or three Republicans who have already gone through that and who have been through that who could run now. And Rand Paul is one of them. He could run. He's already been through most of any kind of baloney that is going to be because his dad was put through it all. And so as a family, they've really, been through the ringer. So he could run and possibly accomplish something. And he has enough different ideas from his father, different to his father's opinions, that I wouldn't mind at this point voting for him.
Yeah. By the way, I did want to point out, getting back to NSA stuff, is you probably heard that Verizon got mentioned a lot as far as the record stealing. And it wasn't just Verizon and interesting enough, Verizon stock actually went up, but Verizon is saying that they want people, their customers, to know, don't yell at us. We had nothing to say about this happening. So.
Well, that's the thing is, did they or didn't they? Because, Zuckerberg said the same thing. He said he didn't know anything about it, and nobody had contacted him or anything. You know, this is, again, the business of our federal government dropping names because they can, and everybody seems to – they're afraid that everybody's too afraid of them to do anything about it. Well, these people are finally a little upset perhaps because some of these people for Verizon and some of these, they're saying, no, we haven't been informed. We didn't know about all this, and we don't like you being drugged to the muck with other people, and we didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, our federal government, I think, is stepping out of line, is getting overstepping their bounds, and they're going to get caught at something before long.
Well, here's something, and I never heard of this until the other day. What is PRISM?
Oh, well, it's a thing.
In a new development of the National Security Agency and the FBI are tapping into, this is from the Washington Times, by the way, central servers of 9 leading U.S. Internet companies in real time, obtaining audio and video chats, photographs, emails, and other information. Various news outlets reported that the program is called PRISM, P-R-I-S-M.
Well, the Washington Post says that it's a surveillance program involving firms including Microsoft, Skype, YouTube. It was established back in Bush's time, 2007.
Right.
But it was sort of just a little program at that time, but under Obama, it's grown exponentially. I mean, it's gone way out of control, because it's something he can use. Mr. Bush sort of just used it one time for a little thing and didn't care because that was no big thing. But Obama, this just fit his program entirely, and he's run it way out of control.
Well, and the thing is that computers actually do have the capability of it's called key logging software. So you can even be just typing out a note on your computer, say in Word or Notepad or online, and change your mind. Well, it's too late. As soon as you push that key down, it's logged.
Well, a lot of people say that this PRISM thing doesn't have access to their system, but it really does. I mean, if Microsoft has access to it, Microsoft has access, I think, to absolutely everything, and they have access to everything that Microsoft does, so they've got access to it.
Well, speaking of Microsoft even, most Windows computers have what's called automatic updates, and
you can
turn them on or turn them off or give it the option that you have a choice. Well, Windows 7, because I don't like having the automatic updates on for reasons and security reasons, Windows 7, we've turned it off, and we still discover that they're doing automatic updates.
Yep.
And now here's the thing. This gets back into trust. When you're allowing a company, whether it's Microsoft doing their Windows updates or Adobe, Flash, Java, or any of them doing automatic updates, you're giving that company permission to install something into your computer or make changes into your computer that you may not know what's going on.
Chances out of 10, you don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Because, you know, that's the thing is, I don't believe turning it off keeps them out either. They can get into your computer. That's the thing. The computer, just by going online with the computer, you can allow them to have control of your computer. I mean, it's just simple as that. I had a program take control of my computer, and I couldn't get it out. I had to change the hard drive to take it out.
Well, here's now it's about 50% of the computers I've ran into. There's a setting in your Ethernet card. You have to go into your configuration. It's called Wake on LAN. And what that means is that when your computer's in sleep mode or in hibernation mode, with that clicked as on, somebody from an outside can log into your computer.
Yep.
The other thing is, and this is a project that I worked on last week, on a friend's computer, it had a Trojan in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trojan went in, not only wouldn't allow you to access any antivirus programs, it also reconfigured the BIOS to do a bunch of nasty things. It took about 2 weeks to get rid of this Trojan. Get all cleaned up, but again, it's that the person that had the computer, they didn't know that it was that they had the Trojan. All told, this thing had 19 viruses in it in that Trojan. And the Trojan was sending information back to Russia. In fact, the Trojan came in from a website called Shoes for You or something similar to that. So something very innocent. But the whole point was, or the whole point I'm making, especially if you're not tech savvy and you're not realizing that, you know, there's differences in the computers, something can very easily come in, take control, take copies of your information, even delete your hard drive remotely, and you're not even aware of it. And if this is a non-governmental agency that's doing this, imagine what the government can do with their resources.
Yeah. Well, I had, it's just ridiculous. I've got a, because I was told that this particular program that took over my hard drive is a virus, but I don't know what it is. And once I turn the computer on, it comes up to that page, and there's nothing you can do. There's nowhere you can go. There's no way you can do anything. And using the computer's controls, there's nowhere you can go. You just have to go with that page. So I just took that hard drive out and set it aside. I don't know exactly how I'm going to erase everything out. I know it's all a magnetic thing, and I can't do that somehow. I just haven't taken the impetus to do it yet, because it's a small hard drive. I didn't care. So I've got, you know, that's the thing. I keep playing with the computers and I keep running them. So it's until I need that hard drive for something, I'll let it go.
Well, again, the point is that there could be anything in your computer you wouldn't even know about. If you go into your task manager, a lot of times there's anywhere from 38 to 65 things running in the background. You don't know what they are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's one of the things that I do when I put the new hard drives in. That's to get rid of some of that stuff. It slows it down, but it brings it back down to a usable number.
Yeah. How many times have you installed a program, and most people, you get an option of doing custom install or doing express install. If you do the express install, then you wind up with somebody's toolbar up on your search engine.
I spend quite a bit more time than anything else when I'm installing a program like that looking for the possibility of that toolbar. I just hate those things. And yet, even then, sometimes they get in there because you're not paying close attention. Generally, you can say no to them, but sometimes you can't.
Right, and the reason why they push those toolbars is for tracking purposes.
Well, and they get money for it.
Well, it's advertising to figure out where your shopping habits are. You know, again, the same thing. It's that they're looking at your information. You know, information is big business.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole reason. That's one of the big reasons that the internet has done so well as it has, is because people are looking for information about your habits. And looking for your habits. And the thing is, as I say, I don't really care.
Here's one for you. Did you know that you can go down to the motor vehicles and buy the information for about a penny a person?
Yeah. Yeah.
For the sense of mailing or whatever. And that's a government agency.
Yeah.
How many other government stuff that, like the medical with the HIPAA, stuff that you have to sign all the time, which is available? Or how many times have you heard so-and-so's computer got stolen and with all these Social Security numbers on it?
Really? Well, there's nothing you can do for – there's no way you can be totally safe from any of your information being stolen. Right. I mean, the only way you can do that is be a hermit and a recluse And even then, you can't do that because sooner or later you're going to have to. Well, not necessarily. I suppose you can live without electricity and without any of those things that are required, but because not everybody requires them.
Right.
I can't live without them, so I'm just going to live with it. You know, I don't care. I don't care how many people know where I go for buying my shoes or something like that. I don't really give a darn about that. But basically, they're going to be very, very surprised and very disappointed because I don't buy shoes. So I don't buy much of anything. I'm old. I've got everything.
Walks around barefoot all the time.
No, I don't, as a matter of fact.
But it gets back down to the main question about even like what Obama was asking is, you know, for 100% security and 100% privacy, you can't have the two. You got to make some adjustments somewhere because it's almost impossible unless, like you say, you live in a black box somewhere that's totally hermetically sealed.
The thing that gets to me is I don't mind people having that information, but I don't really see why the president should have it, why it should go that far up. You know, if somebody in the community I live in, somebody who works at the stores that I shop at wants that information and wants to know about what I do and when I do it so they can send it to somebody else. But there's no reason it needs to go so far as the president needs to know how I do
it. Right. When you go into Safeway, for example, and you sign up for that card, you are voluntarily giving them that information. They're not stealing that information from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like my argument about, you know, going down the road and you have all these different cameras pointing at you. Yeah, okay, when by going outside, you realize that, you know, privacy rights are kind of out the wayside, but it would be nice to at least know who's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody, like I usually read the EULA agreements, you know, whenever I buy software or sign up for something to know what they're going to do. But I guess my point is that if you know, like, for example, if I call you on my cell phone, I'm under the impression that the only two people that are going to be aware of that phone call besides my carrier for billing purposes is you and me.
Oh, well, you're being very obtuse. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's an assumption.
Well, it's even to assume that, right. I think is just ridiculous because, you know, the idea is that's immediately known to everybody.
Okay, well, here's one for you that this has been my pet peeve ever since it started to get popular as far as lack of trust. But a lot of companies are going to this now, and that's called the cloud.
Well, that's interesting because I can see the reasoning for the cloud, and I can see as to where it can do some things for me, but I can also see as to where you think you had problems before or easy access before to your information. How about storing it on somebody else's computer so that anybody can have hold of it?
That's right. Whether it's encrypted or not. Well, how about like this one? Trend Micro, for example, which is the antivirus software that I've used for years, recently it forced everybody to go to the cloud. Now, here's the difference between the two and their arguments. Under the old system, when you go to a website, you're relying on the antivirus software that's currently in your computer to make sure you're safe.
And it has to come to your computer to do that.
Exactly. Under the new program, it goes to their computers first to go through and get filtered and whatever, and you get a clean version that comes to your computer.
Right.
Okay, that sounds all good and well. Hey, you know, any bad stuff's going to go to their stuff. They can take care of it. My computer's safe. How does it get to their computer? Oh, wait, it's I go do a search for, you know, donut day or whatever, and I look up this recipe for donuts that I don't want to share with anybody because maybe, my boss is going, well, you shouldn't have that much sugar. But anyways, for whatever reason. Well, now mm-hmm. Trend Micro, because all my stuff goes through their servers, now knows that I'm looking at donuts.
Yeah.
I mean,
Trend Micro would really be upset.
I mean, it's a silly example, but it's another company getting direct access to my habits. Now, once they have that data, just like a cookie in your computer, you know, can track where you've been, how long you've been, figure out your surfing habits, your shopping habits, what your likes and dislikes, just by putting a little cookie in your computer.
And I, every time I turn around on these programs and catch up with these programs, they say that you can get rid of your cookies. The thing is, anytime you go back to the program to put that cookie there in the first place, it's going to come back.
Right.
So you may as well just not worry about it. Just let them stay.
Well, there's a program that winds up in the computer, and most people don't know about it. It's called DoubleClick. And it's been out for a long time, and it's an advertising agency that whose sole purpose is to figure out your surfing habits and to route advertising for you. And again, going back to the Yahoo example, if you notice that you send an email out about donuts, you're going to start getting advertising in your email.
About donuts.
Right.
Yep. It's amazing. And the thing is, though, I discovered that they get behind. Once they put that information in there about donuts, then you're deluged with donuts. Then when you go to something else that's more important, then they don't get to that right away. They just leave donuts in there for a long time.
Well, this is the new Yahoo email that they just changed recently. I've actually noticed when I send out an email now, I get the ads almost change immediately. So they're catching up. But the whole point is that, again, as far as privacy, but you know that as part of the user agreement for using a free email, that in exchange for it being free, you're going to get advertising. Okay, fine. I can live with that because it's free. I know.
And just out of curiosity, how many of you read the
EULA?
What's that?
That's the end user's agreement.
Yeah. How many of anybody reads that? How many do you really read it all the way through, or do you just read the first few lines, which is basically almost the same for all of them? But you get into the meat of the project later on, and most people don't think even have any idea what it says.
No, most people just go ahead and you could say that you're going to give them your firstborn and 10% of your annual income for life.
Yeah.
And they'll just go ahead and click on agree and install.
Yeah. And the thing is, I do. I don't read it. I don't bother to read it because I don't care. They can have my newborn, my firstborn. Yeah. Actually, it's too late to have my firstborn. But anyway, they can have any old borns they want.
Well, I'm one of those that don't have a life, and I do read those. And I've actually had one or two programs. I said, a good one to read, by the way, and this is a popular one, is Facebook. when somebody sends you an invitation to, like, say, whatever that farm game is, or example, or even to get on your birthday calendar, by clicking OK on that, one of the first things it asks you is that by saying yes, you are agreeing to share your name, your address, your birthday, your other private information. But a lot of people just go ahead and click, okay, I want to play the game. So they say yes.
That's precisely why I have decided not to. I just don't do anything with Facebook or any of these things that at all. I just have nothing to do with them.
Same thing if you're on Facebook and you go to somebody else's page, even somebody that's not in your circle, and you click on an article and give them the thumbs up. Well, you just now linked them to you.
Yeah, and I don't do that either.
Yeah, now as far as data mining goes and putting together a profile about what type of person you are, what your likes and dislikes, you just added to that database.
Yep. And if I'm going to add to a database, I may as well just add to any old database. I'll just put the stuff in myself.
Yeah, going random.
Yeah, I basically do that anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically, it doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care whether they find out what I do and where I go on the internet, because I don't go anywhere of any, the most interesting thing I do on the internet, I'm doing right now on Skype.
Yes. And as far as anything terrorist goes, I'm just having enough trouble getting through life.
Really, really. It's interesting because I for a while there, a long time, as a matter of fact, I decided the way to save myself and to keep myself off of the internet and to keep myself with a modicum of privacy. I had one computer that I did a lot of work on that did not go on the internet. Yeah. But I don't do that anymore either. I just don't care.
Right.
I'm old enough now. If they want to know what I do, more power to them.
Well, I have heard that where some people do have networks that don't even touch the outside world. And that is just really just about the only way you can do it, and plus have your Wi-Fi turned off.
Yeah. Well, at the radio station, we did that. And one of the reasons we did that, because if you're on the Internet, junk keeps going on. I don't care. And so we just, our internal network did not touch the Internet, did not go on the Internet. If we wanted something from the Internet, we had to go on a different computer, get the information, put on a hard drive, and transfer it.
Personally here, you know, I just went ahead and upgraded my modem with Verizon. And this modem has a built-in router and Wi-Fi, and, you know, where the other one didn't, you had to use your own router. And the interesting thing about this, I'm not using their router, but I can't turn off their Wi-Fi. Does not give me the option.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't worry about any of that. I got the thing from the telephone company that I use as a router and a Wi-Fi and a modem and all that sort of thing, and I just let that happen. I don't care. And again, it's interesting enough because because I'm one on Quest, and so I put the disk in to make the thing work. But I've never put the disk in later. I've changed computers, and the other computers just work.
Yeah.
They don't even require the disks. So obviously, it's not a real important thing.
Well, it gets down to like the point I made. It's like data mining. Wi-Fi is a very easy way to gather data off somebody because it's especially if you go to like a Starbucks or someplace that offers free Wi-Fi, it's real easy to do a scan and not only see how many people around you, including smartphones, that have their Wi-Fi turned on, but if you have any computer savvy at all, you can get into their equipment depending on their firewalls. And the real good people, they can, you know, firewalls don't even slow them down.
I don't bother to have a firewall. I think I had a firewall for a while because the program that I, the AVG or whatever it was, installed it for me automatically, but I didn't put it on there. It just came, just sort of showed up, and I didn't stop.
And speaking of snooping, some of the credit cards and debit cards have this, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but they have this wireless device built into them that, like an RFID thing, you just tap the pay thing and it communicates with it. Well, when KeyBank first came out with it, did some research on it, and even though the scanner itself only has about a foot or two distance capacity, two scanners set just right have a 30-foot capacity, and there's also sniffers out there that can pick it up so they can get your information that's stored on that little chip on your debit card.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's amazing what you could even do yourself just without bothering to have special equipment or anything. It's just amazing what they can do. I know I was quite a while ago, but I was looking for ways to set up a whole Wi-Fi experience within an apartment building. Oh, goodness. It's that late, huh?
That late, actually.
I guess we're running out of time. But anyway, it's amazing how much you can do with your own Wi-Fi and with your own system without any difficulty at all.
That's right. So we'll see how this NSA thing, and if you feel comfortable with what the president says and not worried about it and more concerned about football, we'll see how it all plays out. But again, if you have an opinion on this and you missed today's program, send us an email, talk@arbitradio.com, and we're more than happy to respond to your emails or read them on the air. And tune in next week, 1 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. And if you have any ideas, we want to hear from you.
That's true. Have a good day.
See you next week.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.